Our gospel reading from Luke 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers met him, and they stood at a distance, lifting up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. This is God's word. In Jesus' name. To be or not to be? That is the question. Those were the words on the lips of Shakespeare's Hamlet as he pondered life and all its unfairness, debating whether life is not better than its opposite. This morning I'd pose a different question: to turn back or not to turn back? That is the question. Growing up, I remember driving with our family to see my grandma and grandpa one year for Thanksgiving, who lived down in southern Minnesota. We got in the van and started driving, and the weather got worse and worse, darker and darker, and the snow started falling more and more heavily as the further we got, and it was getting so bad that you could barely see in front of the vehicle. There was another car with the red taillights in front of us, maybe about 100 feet or so. You could barely make out the lights of that vehicle. And the snow was so heavy, it was like whiteout conditions. And the roadways were horrible. We were driving maybe 10 miles an hour at best. And you kind of wonder if that question was in the back of my father and mother's mind. In fact, I think I heard them voice it to one another. You know, do we turn back? Do we keep going? At one point, the taillights in front of us stopped, and so my father likewise stopped the van, and the driver in that front vehicle got out, came back to our vehicle, and my dad rolled the window down, and the cold and the snow came blowing in, and this man said, "Follow me." I'd called ahead to my father to plow out our family farm, the drive, which is, you know, a good half mile long itself. And it's clear for the moment, but we have to keep going. So he got back in his car, and we followed, got off the highway onto the country roads. And I think actually his father was plowing in front of us along the country roads. He had already done the drive. We got there, we got in, and the van was put into one of the barns. Man, were we thankful. Thankful for the kindness of this farmer. Thankful for the shelter given to us and our vehicle. Thankful that we were allowed to stay overnight there and got up in the morning and they made a wonderful, nice, warm breakfast. And we walked outside. It was crisp and cold, but it was clear and sunny. And we got to drive the rest of the way to Grandma's and Grandpa's on a clear Minnesota winter morning. When you're in the middle of a snowstorm or in the middle of life, there are often few choices available to you. And you may not have the ability to carry out the choice that you would choose. If you woke up one day in the ancient world and noticed that your skin was white and flaky, you had no choice in the matter. You were a leper. You were removed from your family, from your home, from your community. There was no option of a cure available to you. And so the disease of leprosy could progress to make your whole body start to decay away from you. In some places, the Bible describes our spiritual condition in terms of this physical disease, like Isaiah chapter 1. The people, they've turned back from the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? Go your own way. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises, sores, raw wounds. They are not pressed out. They are not bound up. They are not softened with oil. To turn back or to not turn back, that's the question. If you were to silently think on your own life like Hamlet did, you would quickly realize that there is a question mark over the entirety of your life, from start to the present to the very end, a big question mark. The things that are hidden, the things that other people know about, the things that you've achieved or thought you've achieved, there's just a big question mark over it all. Over all your relationships with family and friends, and ultimately, even your relationship with God, if left to yourself, there's a big question mark there, at least according to God's own law, which must remove sinners with an exclamation mark from God's presence and holiness and quarantine us away from Him in a colony of separation where we can only decay and die. But thanks be to God. Surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, proven Himself faithful. He will not deny Himself. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. By His wounds, we are healed. And He did not even begin to see decay like Peter preaches on Pentecost. The Lord, the servant, the man who did not turn back from the insults hurled at Him, the spitting that was cast His way according to Isaiah 50. That whole chapter of Isaiah 53 puts Him out in front of our eyes with graphic detail as if we were seeing Him like those 10 lepers that day. Jesus, the servant, the Lord, the man who was walking the line between Samaria and Galilee, caught in this middle place. On His way to Jerusalem is how our gospel reading began. Jesus was on His way, and He did not turn back. He heard the cry in His ears, and so He looked and He saw, and He did something about it. He spoke and He healed. Go show yourselves to the priests. After first hearing words that we could repeat verbatim, because we are in a similar, if not more dire circumstance, Jesus, Master, what? Have mercy on us. In Jesus, the sin bearer, in Jesus, the one who carried all our diseases, and in Jesus alone, God has had, definitively had, mercy on the whole world and on all who hear the glad tidings of great joy. Isaiah says it well. Let the wicked turn back from his way. There's something we should turn away from. Let the unrighteous man turn back from his thoughts. Let him turn back to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. Let him turn back to our God, for God will abundantly pardon. Or listen to Peter, who witnessed with his own eyes the miracle that day, and who witnessed the thanksgiving and joy of the one Samaritan leper who returned back to Jesus, fell at his face, on his face before Him, and thanked Him and praised Him. Peter preached to his own countrymen, the Jews, about God's mercy for them and His mercy for all, that all would be blessed through Abraham's offspring. Acts chapter 3. Repent. Turn back. Turn back again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Today we have heard with our ears God's own pardon that blots out sin. And we've received it with thanksgiving, with repentance, with trust. And in the sacrament this very day, we will receive refreshment from the presence of the Lord. He is with His people bodily under the bread and wine, just like He has said, just like He's promised, as He has given us in His own testament. In light of all this mercy from God, concretely given to us, yes, even into our mouths, we turn around and it is good, right, and salutary that we use those mouths to thank Him, to praise Him. We've been given a gift. We've been given the life that never ends through sheer mercy alone. having turned back from sinful ways. We live our life going forward like Ruth did in our Old Testament reading. She was given the chance, the opportunity to turn back from her mother-in-law, but what did she do? The text says she was determined, determined to be with her mother-in-law, to go with her, to serve as best she can. And so we also, who have received such mercy from God, we turn around and we thank and praise him as we ought and as that one leper did, the Samaritan one. And then we look at our neighbor, the person in need, and we do not ever, even once for a moment, turn back on them. Turn our back away. Not look at their face. What did Naomi think? God's hand is against me. That's why all this has happened. But no. In the worst circumstances, in the difficulties of life, the crosses that God sends, he is at the same time with us, guiding us into a new life. It was a famine, God's hand, that caused Ruth and her husband and sons to leave. But if that never happened, the one son would never have met and married Ruth. And then Naomi's husband dies, both sons die. So it's just the women left. And Ruth holds fast to her mother-in-law. She doesn't turn back, but she goes with her. And she makes her way to Bethlehem. There, meeting Boaz, marrying that man, having a son with Boaz, who would have a son, named David. David would have a son, eventually named, through Mary the Virgin, Jesus, 1,000 years later. God's hand is not against you. His hand is just like it's pictured there. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He has an open hand to bestow on you the gifts you could never give yourself. And Jesus does not turn back from offering his life and then taking it up again. The Lord is risen from the dead. And so we have every reason to give thanks in all times and in all places, in all circumstances, because he is risen. Indeed, he is. Death has no dominion over him. And so now you have life in his name. The forgiveness and pardoning word of Jesus, his body and blood that blots out sin, is given to you fully and freely. And all we can do is thank and praise the one who gives such gifts. As you look at your neighbor, don't turn back. Don't turn away from them. Rather, hand on to them the mercy you have received. With a thankful heart, a glad heart, God is the source of every good gift in your life. He will not fail you. Amen. This time we join together and confess the Christian faith, this God, the source of all good things.